Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. Today is Saturday of the first week in ordinary time, January 14, 2023, the feast of St. Gregory Nazianzen. Also called Gregory the Theologian. gracious and loving God, you call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us to always use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. Send the Holy Spirit to work through us, bringing your message to those we serve. Stewards of God's grace have unlimited resources to manage on behalf of Jesus Christ. Like St. Paul and St. Stephen, when full of grace, we are in a better position to allocate its riches. God gives his children grace to dispense to needy hearts. Though retired into the remote parts of a desert, St. Anthony of the desert often experienced the fiercest attacks of the devils. They would appear to him under a thousand frightful forms. The saint laughed at their impotence, and to put them to flight, simply contented himself with making the sign of the cross, saying to his disciples, "Believe me, Satan fears prayer and humility and the love of Jesus Christ. The mere sign of the cross suffices to banish him." St. Patrick and his companions appeared to walk through bolted doors to see the pagan king. Invited to sit down and parley, the pagan priest offered St. Patrick a drink laced with poison. Knowing this, did the sign of the cross over the cup, and immediately the drink went from being hot to ice, except the poison. Dumping out the poison, St. Patrick again blessed the cup, and the drink returned to normal. With everyone watching, the pagan king was converted. St. Martin of Tours, rising from a kneeling posture, he turned his eyes towards a deceased and said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise and stand upon your feet." At the sound of this glorious word from the saint, the soul returned to the body, and the person that was dead opened his eyes and revived. And let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Here am I, Lord, I come to sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not, then said I, "Behold, I come." Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. In the then scroll. It is prescribed for me to do your will. Oh my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
It's Saturday of the first week in ordinary time. Our first reading. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from Him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of Him, to whom we must render an account. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Responsorial Psalm. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eye. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Let the words of my mouth and the thought of my heart find favor before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life.
Became flesh and dwelt among us. To those who accepted Him, He gave power to become children of God. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowds came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes, who were Pharisees, saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. St. Gregory the Nazianzen. Nazianza, also known as Gregory the Theologian. Gregory was a 4th century archbishop of Constantinople and theologian. Gregory made a significant impact on the shape of Trinitarian theology among both Greek and Latin-speaking theologians. And he is remembered as the Trinitarian theologian. After his baptism at 30, Gregory gladly accepted his friend Basil's invitation to join him in a newly found monastery. The solitude was broken when Gregory's father, a bishop, needed help in his diocese and estate. It seemed that Gregory was ordained a priest practically by force, and only reluctantly accepted responsibility. He skillfully avoided a schism that threatened when his old father made a promise with Arianism. At 41, Gregory was chosen bishop of Caesarea, and at once came into conflict with Valens, the emperor, who supported the Arians. An unfortunate byproduct of the battle was the cooling of the friendships of two saints. Gregory offered this argument: "Look at these facts. Christ is born. The Holy Spirit is his forerunner. Christ is baptized. The Spirit bears witness to this. Christ works miracles. The Spirit accompanies them. Christ ascends. The Spirit takes his place. What great things are there in the idea of God, which are not in his power? What titles pertaining to God do not apply also to him, except for unbegotten and begotten? I tremble when I think of such an abundance of titles, and how many names they blaspheme, those who revolt against the Spirit." He was a close friend of St. Basil the Great, his fellow student, and later bishop of Caesarea. Basil, his archbishop, sent him to a miserable and unhealthy town on the border of unjustly created division in his diocese. Basil reproached Gregory for not going to his see. It was in Constantinople where he tried to bring back Christians from Arianism. where he began giving the great sermons on the Trinity, for which he is famous. He was acclaimed simply as the theologian. When protection for Arianism ended and the death of Valens, Gregory was called to rebuild the faith in the great see of Constantinople, which had been under Arian teachers for 3 decades. Retiring and sensitive, he dreaded being drawn into the whirlpool of corruption and violence. He first stayed at a friend's home, which became the only Orthodox church in the city. In such surroundings, he began giving the great sermons on the Trinity, for which he is famous. In time, Gregory did rebuild the faith in the city, but at the cost of great suffering, slander, insults, and even personal violence. An interloper even tried to take over his bishopric. His last days were spent in solitude and austerity. He wrote religious poetry, some of it autobiographical, of great depth and beauty. He was acclaimed simply as the theologian. Today, he is numbered among the doctors of the church. The liturgy of St. Gregory the Theologian is used by the Coptic Catholic Church, named after him. St. Gregory was a doctor of the church, born at Azrensis in Asia Minor, probably in 325, and died in 389. He was the son of Gregory, Bishop of Nazarensis, who lived in 329 to 374. During his lifetime, he penned over 800 letters and authored accounts of the lives of saints and other religious works, including 6-volume commentary on the Book of Job. He was also involved in church music, writing many songs and hymns, and is most notably associated with the Gregorian chant. St. Gregory Nazianzen shares the celebration of his feast, liturgical feast, with St. Basil the Great on January the 2nd. Almost every sin is committed for the sake of sensual pleasure, and sensual pleasure is overcome by hardship and distress arising either voluntarily from repentance or else involuntarily as a result of some salutary and providential reversal. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, so that we should not be condemned with the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. And these are the words coming from St. Gregory. No sooner do I conceive of the one that I am illuminated by the splendor of the three. No sooner do I distinguish them than I am carried back to the one. Let us become like Christ. Since Christ became like us, he assumed the worse that he might give us the better. He became poor that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Remember God more often than you breathe. We are not made for ourselves alone. We are made for the good of all our fellow creatures. What he was, he laid aside. What he was not, he assumed. He takes upon himself the poverty of my flesh, so that I may receive the riches of his divinity. These three things God requires of all the baptized: right faith in the heart, truth on the tongue, temperance in the body. It is difficult to practice obedience, but it is even more difficult to practice leadership. If anyone does not believe that Holy Mary is the Mother of God, such a one is a stranger to the Godhead. May you be children of God, pure and unblameable, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Philippians chapter 1:15. And may you never be entangled in the snares of the wicked that go round about, or bound with the chains of your sins. May the word in you never be smothered with the cares of this life, that would make you unfruitful. But may you walk in the King's highway, turning aside neither to the right hand nor to the left, but led by the Spirit through the narrow gate. And those are words coming from St. Gregory the theologian. And Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of these precious saints and their testimony. Bus, be solid, rock solid, strong in our holy Catholic faith. Bring back the prodigals and have mercy on us, Lord. And I encourage you to make the Mass the center of your life and pray the rosary. Pray. And so we are called to pick up our cross and follow the Lord. We are to follow the Lord. And that's a call to all of us, no matter what our state in life might be. Whether you're a priest or bishop, or you're a father and a mother. Whatever, if you're a soldier, whatever our state in life is, called to follow the Lord. Jesus invites us. He invites us to come. Follow me, he says. Are you listening? Come, follow me, Jesus said. We have so many good things that he has given us to be thankful. To be thankful. Come, follow me.
But your hands to do his work today. He has no feet, but your feet to guide folk his way. He has no lips, but your lips to tell them how he died. He has no love, but your love to bring them to his side. And it says, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me. Be a vision of my peace and follow me. It says, come follow me, come follow me. no heart, but your heart to show his love toward them. And he has no voice, but your voice to sing them songs and hymns. He has no eyes, but your eyes to see the good in everyone. He has no one, only you, to turn them.